You know, they always come up with something. I don't know. It's good to have a little comedy in there, though. Well, good morning. I tell you, this is a time when I am thankful and grateful to be a citizen of the United States of America. When you see all the things that are happening all around the world, I'm glad that we live in a place where our voice can still be heard and we can still speak out for justice and cry out to God for his salvation. I'm thankful for the men and women who died and gave their lives and stood their ground to make that possible. And I am truly grateful that God has graced us with the ability to be here in this great nation of ours and to celebrate freedom as we come together and worship him together in spirit and in truth. The Bible says, blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord. Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord. In a culture and an atmosphere where that is ever increasingly being attacked, where there is ever increasing amount of pressure being placed for the church to bow to socialism and to other things that are happening, it is ever more important for us to stand our ground and to stand upon the foundations of the Word of God and declare, in God we trust, and in God we will continue to trust. Our faith and our hope and the foundations of this nation were founded in God. And if it was not for that, we would not be the nation that we are. And let us continue to pray fervently and hope that we will never fall away from that. God have mercy upon us if we ever do so. May we, as the church, do our part to stand our ground by getting on our knees and crying out to God for his mercy, for his grace, and for him to do a sovereign move. We are in a season right now where God is asking for us to cry out to him. We are in a season right now where God is asking for the church to stand up and be counted, to stand up and make our voices heard, but not by yelling at others, not by getting on social media and ranting and raving. That doesn't help anything. The Bible says that our weapon and our warfare is not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers, the rulers of the darkness of this world, and against spiritual wickedness in the heavenly realms. It says, therefore, put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the day of evil. And having done all to stand. What does it say? To have your feet shod with what? The preparation of the what? Of the gospel of what? Peace. We are called to bring peace. We are called to bring peace. But in order for there to be peace, the forces of darkness must be destroyed. And there is only one force on this earth that God has placed for that to happen, and that is the church. We as the church are called to be a part of his army, to go forth and to stand once again for the freedom that he fought for, that he died for, that he gave his life for. He died on that cross so that you and I could be free. And he has called us to stand and to lay down our life for his freedom so that the world may know and come to know that true freedom. Amen? That wasn't my sermon. I want to talk to us this morning about the communication breakdown. How many of you have ever been a part of a communication breakdown? I think every single one of us has to admit, yes, there are communication breakdowns. I want to take us to a story in the Bible as we're talking about this series of Family in Focus. I want to take us to a story in the Bible that talks about a communication breakdown. And I want us to take a look at this story, and then we're going to glean from it some very important things. It's found in the book of Genesis, chapter 11, verse 1 through 9, and I'm going to be reading from the Amplified version of the Bible. That means there's more words. You get the full meaning. Now the whole earth spoke one language and used the same words or vocabulary. And as people journeyed eastward, they found a plain in the land of Shinar, and they settled there. They said one to another, "Come, let us make bricks and fire them thoroughly in a kiln to harden and strengthen them." So they used brick for stone as building material, and they used tar, bitumen, or asphalt for mortar. They said, "Come, let us build a city for ourselves and a tower whose top will reach into the heavens. And let us make a famous name for ourselves, so that we will not be scattered into separate groups and be dispersed over the surface of the entire earth as the Lord instructed." Now the Lord came down to see the city and the tower which the sons of men had built. And the Lord said, "Behold, they are one, unified people, and they all have the same language. This is only the beginning of what they will do in a rebellion against me. And now, no evil thing they imagine they can do will be impossible for them. Come, let us, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, go down and there confuse and mix up their languages so that they will not understand one another's speech." So the Lord scattered them abroad from there over the surface of the entire earth, and they stopped building the city. Therefore, the name of that city was Babel, because there the Lord confused the language of the entire earth. And from that place, the Lord scattered and dispersed them over the surface of all of the earth. All right. That is a lot to absorb. I'm going to try to help us to understand. We have to start with what God's mandate was. That's where we have to start. We know what the Bible said, be fruitful, in the book of Genesis, right? As God was speaking to Adam and Eve, he said, be fruitful, multiply, fill the earth, and subdue it. Be fruitful, multiply, fill the earth, and subdue it, or have dominion over it, to dominate. The people here were in rebellion to the will of God. They said, we will not fill the earth. That's what they said in verse 4. You can look at it again. It says, they said, come, let us build a city for ourselves and a tower whose top will reach into the heavens, and let us make a famous name for ourselves so that we will not be scattered into separate groups and be dispersed over the surface of the entire earth as the Lord instructed. They decided, we are not going to do what God said. We will not fill the earth. Then they said, we will not fill the earth. We are coming after you, God. We're coming after you. We're going to build a tower into heaven. They were unified against God. They were unified against him. They did not want to fill the earth that they had been placed. They did not want to fulfill the mandate that God had placed. They chose to harden their hearts against God, and they said, rather than filling the earth, we're coming up to heaven. We're going to come to where you are, and we're going to take over heaven, and there's nothing you can do to stop us. Imagine the audacity. Imagine the audacity to think that we can rebel against God and get away with it. And yet, we see people do it every single day. Not only do we see others do it, we do it ourselves. We do it ourselves. I want you to see that the point of confusion comes as a result of rebellion against God. Confusion comes as a point of rebellion, at a point of rebellion against God. God said, because of their rebellion, we will come down and we will confuse them. We will scatter them. We will cause them not to be able to understand each other. There was a communication breakdown. I want us to turn into Jeremiah chapter 5, verse 21 through 31. Again, I'm reading out of the Amplified Version here, and it says, "Now hear this, O foolish people without heart, who have eyes but do not see, who have ears but do not hear. Do you not fear me, says the Lord? Do you not tremble in awe in my presence? For I have placed the sand as a boundary for the sea, an eternal decree and a perpetual barrier beyond which it cannot pass. Though the waves of the sea toss and break, yet they cannot prevail against the sand ordained to hold them back. Though the waves and the billows roar, yet they cannot cross over the barrier. Is not such a God to be feared? But this people has a stubborn heart and a rebellious will that draws them away from me. They have turned away and have gone into idolatry. They do not say in their heart, 'Let us now fear and worship the Lord our God with profound awe and reverence.' Who gives rain in its season, but both the autumn and the spring rain? Who keeps us from for the appointed weeks of the harvest? Your wickedness has turned these blessings away, and your sins have withheld good harvests from you. For wicked men are found among my people. They watch like fowlers who lie in wait. They set a trap. They catch men. As a cage is full of birds, so are their houses full of deceit and treachery. Therefore, they have become influential and rich. They are fat and they are sleek, prosperous. They excel in acts of wickedness. They do not plead the cause of the orphan, so that they, the wicked, may oppress or prosper. They do not defend the rights of the poor. Shall I not punish them for these things, says the Lord? Shall I not avenge myself on such a nation as this? An appalling and horrible thing, bringing desolation and destruction, has come to pass in the land. The prophets prophesy falsely, and the priests rule on their own authority, and my people love to have it that way. But what will you do when the end comes? What will you do when the end comes?" Jesus quoted from this passage in the book of Mark, chapter 8, portion of 17 and 18. It says, "Do you not yet perceive or understand?" Jesus is speaking to his disciples. "Is your heart still hardened? Having eyes, do you not see? And having ears, do you not hear?" Having eyes to see, you do not see. And having ears to hear, you do not hear. There is a communication breakdown. We can't see what is right in front of us. We can't hear what the Spirit is saying because our hearts are hardened and rebellious toward God. Even right now, as I am preaching, there are those of you who are thinking about all of the evil in the world, but you're refusing to examine your own heart. We can cry for a revival until we are blue in the face. We can shout that what this world needs is a sovereign move of God. We can ask God how long he is going to let evil prosper. But his scripture is very clear. Second Chronicles 7:14. How fitting that you open with this, Mitch. "But if my people, who are called by my name, will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and heal their land." I want you to hear. What did God say? If what? Put it back up there. If what? Who? Who are called by what? Is he talking to the sinners out in the world? Is he talking to the rest of the world? Who's he talking to? He's talking to his people, the church. He says, if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven, I will forgive their sin, and I will heal their land. More than ever, God desires to come and bring healing. He desires to restore us. He desires to remove evil. But we must repent. We must repent. Stop trying to get the world to stop acting like the world. Stop trying to get sinners to stop acting like sinners. Stop getting mad when evil people are doing evil. It is those of us who know the truth, who have been called by God's name, who, as Jesus said to his disciples, I wish you were hot, or I wish you were cold. But because you were lukewarm, I'll spit you out of my mouth. Where is the passion for God? Where is the hunger for his ways? Where is the cry within our hearts when we see the evil around us to fall on our faces before God, to hit our knees, and to begin to cry out with everything within us with a fervor and repent for the sins of our nation, repent for the sins of our culture, repent for the things that are happening all around us, and begin to turn back toward God? What does God have to do to get our attention? I know I'm not preaching one of those messages that everybody gets to dance and shout and jump up and down, but the truth has to come forth. It is time for us to wake up as the church of Jesus Christ and realize that God is calling us to something greater. We are the ones who can stand in the gap. We are the ones who can make a difference. But we find ourselves playing with the same stupid things. We find ourselves falling in the same stupid traps. And yes, I'm using the word stupid. Joel chapter 2. We love to quote Joel, right? The book of Joel. It shall come to pass in the last days, saith God, that I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters will prophesy. Your young men will see visions, your old men will dream dreams, and upon my servants and upon my handmaids will I pour out my spirit, and they will prophesy, right? We quote that all the time. We like to talk about that part of Joel, but we don't like to talk about this part of Joel. Joel chapter 2, verse 12 through 17. Now therefore, says the Lord, turn to me with all your heart, with fasting, with weeping, and with mourning. I just messed with somebody right now. So rend your heart and not your garments. Rend your heart and not your garments. Return to the Lord your God, for he is gracious and merciful, slow to anger and of great kindness. And he relents from doing harm. Who knows if he will turn and relent and leave a blessing behind him, a grain offering and a drink offering for the Lord your God. Blow the trumpet in Zion, consecrate a fast, call a sacred assembly, gather the people, sanctify the congregation, assemble the elders, gather the children and nursing babies. Let the bridegroom go out from his chamber and the bride from her dressing room. Let the priests who minister to the Lord weep between the porch and the altar. Let them say, spare your people, O Lord, and do not give your heritage to reproach, that the nations should rule over them. Why should they say among the people, where is their God? I think that the world is asking, where is your God? Where is your God? And I think that we, as the church, many times ask, where is our God? There is no fear of God like there needs to be. There is no reverence for God like there needs to be. Everyone has gone their own way. Everyone does what is right in their own eyes. And they have failed to remember that God is a just God. He's a God of his word. Jesus even said, there is not one dotting of the I or crossing of the T in this book that will not come to pass. I want you to think about that. Everything that is written in this book is 100% true. We like to read the good stuff. But do we not heed the warnings that God speaks to his people? Listen, it is a waste of time to fight and argue with people over whether or not they should wear masks. We shouldn't be debating each other over whether black lives or blue lives or all lives matter. We shouldn't be fighting over which political party is right. The last time I checked, this world is not my home. The last time I checked, God is still on the throne. The last time I checked, he is coming back soon, and he will judge the world of its sin. The last time I checked, he is coming back for a bride who is seeking him first and who has made herself ready. The last time I checked, he's coming back for those who are seeking first his kingdom and his righteousness. Stop playing around. Stop wasting time. It is time for us to fall upon our face before God and repent for the sins of this nation. Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Luke chapter 18, verse 7 and 8. Says, won't God provide justice to his chosen people who cry out to him day and night? Will he be slow to help them? I tell you, he will give them justice quickly. But when the Son of Man comes, will he find faithfulness on the earth? Will he find faithfulness on the earth? I hope that you hear my heart this morning. My heart is broken, absolutely broken. And I'm first on my face before God saying, God, forgive me. God, forgive me. We have the power of God. We have been given the ability to seek the face of God. We have been given access into the Holy of Holies. What are we doing with it? Are we using it for our own selfish gain? Are we just worried about ourselves getting into heaven? Are we crying out before him, seeking his face, that he would bring this world to salvation, that he would forgive us of our sins? When we see plagues and pestilence and darkness increasing upon the earth, it should be a wake-up call for us as believers to fall on our knees before God in fasting and in prayer. This is a time of repentance and supplication. We must humble ourselves and turn toward Him. We must cry out for mercy and grace and forgiveness. But we must repent. We must turn from our own pride and rebellion and idolatry. And we must turn toward Him. Idolatry, you say? Idolatry? What is idolatry? It is worshiping the creation rather than the Creator. It is placing my will above the will of God. Idolatry is pursuing my desire rather than pursuing God's will. We see throughout this earth, we see throughout our churches, God forgive us, we've turned ourselves into a seeker style organization. Not speaking of us specifically, I'm talking about the church in general, where we are trying to find all of the right programs that tickle everybody's fancy, have all of the right things in place, make everybody feel happy and good. We stay away from certain things because we are afraid that it will offend people. We don't speak the word of God because we want to fill the pews. I'm here to tell you that God is calling for His church, for His people, to humble themselves, to cry out to Him. You and I, yes, leadership is there, but the church, that is each and every one of us, is responsible for seeking His face and crying out. I don't place the blame squarely on the pastors of these mega churches and other things. I want you to hear what I'm saying. If people were coming and repenting and falling on their face before God and seeking the face of God because they were speaking the truth, they would be preaching it. Hopefully. But people are flocking to their message. People are flocking to what they're saying. If people weren't flocking to it, do you think that they would be doing it? Help us, Lord. Deuteronomy chapter 30, verse 19. Moses speaking to the children of Israel. I call heaven and earth as witness today against you, that I have set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Therefore, choose life. Choose life, that both you and your descendants may live. The only way to read, you only have to read the redemption story of the children of Israel from the hand of the Egyptians to see that rebellion always brings the curse. What happened to Pharaoh? He hardened his heart towards God. He would not relent. He would not listen. And therefore, he was destroyed in the sea. That is the story of the Bible. That is the story of the fall. There was rebellion against God. That was the need for redemption, because man rebelled against God. This was the cry of every prophet and apostle, calling out to God's people, saying, repent, turn from your wicked ways, do not harden your heart against God. Come to him. This has been the cry. that has resounded throughout all of history. Don't harden your heart. Turn toward God. Repent, for he is merciful and compassionate, full of grace and forgiveness. Though your sins are as scarlet, they shall be white as snow. The breakdown of relationship, the breakdown in communication, has always been the point of pride and rebellion. Yet the point of salvation and the point of restoration has always been at the point of surrender. At the point of surrender. Jesus said, "Not my will, but yours be done." If my people will humble themselves, then will I hear from heaven. I'll forgive their sin, and I will heal their land. How does this relate to the family? How does it relate to the family? All across America and the whole world, families are torn apart every day because of a breakdown of communication. There is a severance of relationship because of breakdown of communication. Inevitably, the source of the breakdown can be traced back to pride or rebellion. A refusal to yield. The act of placing myself and my desires above the needs of others. An impasse is reached where neither party is willing to yield their will, their rights. I have a right. I deserve this. The Bible tells us in the book of Galatians 5:13, says, serve one another in love. It's not up there on the slides. Serve one another in love. In 1 Peter 5:5, it says, submit ourselves to one another. Submit ourselves to one another. In Romans chapter 12, verse 10, it says, give preference to others. Give preference to others. When we fail to follow these scriptures, we are in rebellion against God. This results in a breakdown in relationship with Him, which results in a communication breakdown or a relationship breakdown with others. You have heard of the saying, united we stand, divided we fall. Matthew chapter 12, verse 25. But Jesus knew their thoughts and said to them, every kingdom divided against itself is brought to desolation, and every city or house divided against itself will not stand. Are you with me this morning? If we want to heal our families, if we want to have peace and harmony and unity in our families, we must begin by restoring our relationship with our Heavenly Father. We cannot be in rebellion and relationship breakdown with God and expect to have peace and harmony in our families. Can't. If we want to see healing and restoration and harmony in our families, in our nation, and in this world, we must begin by repairing our relationship with our Heavenly Father. It is time for us to humble ourselves before God and repent. It is time for us to turn our hearts toward heaven and restore the broken lines of communication. It is time for us to place our lives under the authority of His Word. It is time for us to fully surrender to Him. That we don't just say these words, but we live them. May Your kingdom come. May Your will be done. It's time for us to fix the communication breakdown in our nation and in our families by repenting before God and letting Him heal our land. As we prepare for communion, I ask that you would take the time this morning to make an altar. Let us humble ourselves before God. We are in a season of prayer and fasting and repentance. Let us restore the lines of communication. Pray for God to heal and restore the lines of communication within your family. As I want us to do four things. As we have the communion here, we're going to have it here at the front. You'll be able to come and you'll be able to receive that. But I want you to do this. I want you to individually make an altar before the Lord. Whether that's where you're seated or if that's coming up here in your homes, I want you to do the same. Find a quiet place, and I want you to begin to work out things with God. So I want you to start with that. Then secondly, I want you to come forward and receive the elements of the body and the blood of Jesus Christ. If you're there at your home, make sure that you have those things prepared. Then I want you to do this. I want you to gather together with your family, and I want you to ask for forgiveness. I want you to pray for healing and unity. And then we're going to partake of communion together as a family. And for those who are here without their families, you can either remain here at the altar or return to your seat, and a pastor will pray with you to partake of the communion together. So, as you are preparing for this, at this time, I'm going to sing a song, and as I sing this song, I want you to begin the process of allowing God to work in your heart and just allow for your communication to be restored with Him and with your family.
Is calling. Have you come to the end of yourself? Do you thirst for a drink from the well? Jesus is calling. Oh, come to the altar. The Father's arms are open wide. Forgiveness was bought with the precious blood of Jesus. come today, there's no reason to wait. Jesus is calling. Bring your sorrows and trade them for joy. From the ashes a new life is born. Jesus is calling. Oh, come to the altar.
Pastor Mitch, if you would come and help me as we serve the platform guests, please. Paul is writing the church in Corinth. They're really confused. They don't fully understand what the Lord's table is all about. They think it has to do with big meals, with banquets, with parties. And Paul is telling them, no, that's not it. So he gives instruction in the 11th chapter of 1 Corinthians. And as he begins to write, I was struck by a phrase as I was meditating concerning communion this week. There are so many events that took place that night. It was the institution of moving from the Passover to the Lord's Supper. Jesus was going to be arrested. There was going to be a surrender that took place in the garden with Jesus the Son and God the Father. So many things. And what Paul chose to isolate was on the night he was betrayed, Jesus took bread. Oh, no doubt about it, that was a part of it. I would have never thought that was an event that they would remember that night by. But Paul says on the night he was betrayed, Jesus took bread. On the night of his severe disappointment, on the night of his emotional, social violation, Jesus took bread. Some of you know what betrayal is all about. Some of you have been betrayed by family members. Some of you feel like you have been betrayed by churches. Some of you think that you have been betrayed by institutions. And I'm not here to argue with you. I don't know what I don't know, so I can't argue with you about your opinion on that. But I will tell you, on the night he was betrayed, Jesus took bread and he broke it and said, "This will help you. This is an antidote for you. Have you been betrayed? Take my body. Have you been broken? Take my broken body, and I will heal you, and I will destroy you." Wherever you are in your life right at this moment, you know more about what you know than I do. But wherever you are right at this moment, I give invitation to you to take the bread and allow it to become a healing poultice to your soul. Let it become a vaccination to your spirit. Let it become a healing regeneration. Let it become springtime to the winters of your soul. Father, thank you for this bread. Thank you for your body that is broken. Thank you for the healing, the restoration, the reconciliation in this bread. May it happen in the name of Jesus across the United States and around the world as we take of the bread. May there be healing in your name. And he said, "This blood is a new covenant. This blood is a new testament." Oh, thank God for the blood. Oh, the blood of Jesus. It makes us white as snow. It's the common denominator in all of us. No matter what our race, no matter what our gender, no matter what our language, no matter what our vocabularies, it is the common denominator. And there is something powerful and amazing and mystical about the blood of Jesus Christ. Isaiah said that when we're plunged in it, we become white. And I thank you for this fountain, Lord. I pray for those that are listening to my voice right now. Some of them have not given their hearts to Jesus Christ. I pray that you would speak to them and let them understand that the door is open. You are knocking at the door. Come into their hearts. Forgive them of their sins. Jesus, we're sinners. Forgive us. Cleanse us from all unrighteousness. We ask in the name of Jesus, the blood of Jesus Christ, the power in his blood. May that blood cover a multitude of sins. In the name of Jesus, may it make the unrighteous righteous. And that is why we say, to life in the blood of Jesus Christ, let us take of it together.
Isn't he wonderful? Sing hallelujah, Christ is risen. Bow down before him, for he is Lord of all. Sing hallelujah, Christ is risen.
Come on, sing it again with me.
Oh, what a Savior, isn't he wonderful? Sing hallelujah, Christ is risen. Bow down before him, for he is Lord of all. Sing hallelujah, Christ is risen.
Father, we just come before you. Thankful, O God, for the sacrifice that you made. Thankful, O God, that you rose with all power over death, hell, and the grave. O God, that you fought the battle and that you won, Lord, and you have given us the victory in the name of Jesus. Thank you, O God, that you have given us the authority and the ability to stand, O God, in front of every force of darkness, in front of every evil, O God, and begin to cry out and proclaim, Heavenly Father, come, may your kingdom come, may your will be done on this earth, even as it is in heaven. And Lord, may it begin with us. May revival begin with us. May a turning to you begin with us, O God. We fall on our faces before you, Lord, and we say, O God, restore, 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 restore the communication, Lord. Restore communion within our hearts. Restore communion with you within our spirits, O God. Draw us into your presence, O God. May we have a hunger and a desire and a passion for you like never before. May we run and flee temptation. May we flee from evil, O God. May we cry out to you, forgive the sins of this nation. Forgive the sins of this people, Lord. Forgive us of our sins, O God. May it be so, O God, that you would receive us. Receive our prayer. Hear our prayer, O God. Forgive us of our sins and heal our land in the precious name of Jesus. We declare this and we come before you, Lord, and place our petition before you. And we thank you, Lord, that you are faithful. You are faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. In the precious name of Jesus. In the precious name of Jesus. And may all God's people say, amen, amen, and amen. Thank you so much for being here. I just want to challenge you. We were going to begin on Wednesday nights having prayer and worship here. Prayer and worship, that's it. No agenda. Let's get in the house of God. Let's pray. Let's seek his face. Every Monday morning from 7:30 a.m. to 8:30 a.m., this sanctuary will be open for you to come, to spend time in prayer, to seek the face of God. I encourage you to get before God. Let's begin to seek his face together. Let's cry out before him and let him hear our prayers and heal our land in the precious name of Jesus. If you agree with that, would you say amen and give the Lord a praise offering? Come on. God is faithful and his love is here with us. He is faithful and just. So let us continue to fellowship and love with one another and reach out to our communities with the healing love of Jesus Christ. How many of you believe that God can heal our land? How many of you believe that? Would you just pray with me right now? Just raise your hands. Father, as I speak a blessing over our congregation and those who are watching right now, Lord, I ask that you would fill us with a passion for your presence. May you cause us, Lord, to have a desire to get before you. Lord, may it be so that we would have a heart, your heart, for this world. May we be moved with compassion as you were moved with compassion. And Lord, may it be so that from our prayer closets, as we place ourselves before you and pray and repent for the sins of this nation, that you would pour out of your Spirit upon all flesh. Lord, may we go from a fasting and prayer and proclamation to an outpouring of your Spirit upon all flesh. I thank you, O God, that you will do the sovereign work as we humble ourselves before you. May it be so that you would break the chains of bondage and that you would open the lines of communication, that we may be restored to relationship. I thank you, O God, for this in the precious name of Jesus. May we be the church 24/7. In the name of Jesus, amen. God bless you. Have a wonderful week. Look forward to seeing you. For those who can be here, tomorrow morning at 7:30, the church will be open for prayer. Wednesday evening at 6:45, the church will be open for prayer. God bless. Have a wonderful week.